バルバラバルワパッパパッパバルバラバルワパッパパッパ。If you're having trouble with your high school head, he's giving you the blues. You wanna graduate but not in his bed.
Welcome to the Bargain Den. My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
And Donna, I got a question for you. I'm wondering if I were a curious individual asking the questions, what would you tell me is your favorite sea monster?
My favorite sea monster. Here's the deal. There are not a lot of sea monsters that I'm aware of. I'll just say that flat out.
Okay.
So here's a monstrous sea creature. Will that work for you? I feel like most sea monsters are that anyway.
Of course. Right? Of course that'll be okay with me. Go ahead.
Trilobite.
But
like imagine if there was like a giant one. Because that's how most sea monsters work, right? Like, oh, it's an octopus, but it's huge. It's like the size of a ship, and now it's the Kraken.
You know, I kind of take a little bit of issue with you taking one of God's beautiful creatures and calling them a monster, but so be it. So be it. So a trilobite is your favorite. Why?
Because I love trilobites. And think about it. If you saw a giant ass one of those, wouldn't that be super creepy? Wouldn't that be fucking weird?
It'd be
wicked.
I guess I'll take it. It just kind of feels sort of like you're just taking your favorite sea creature.
Uh-huh. And then making it huge, like ship-sized.
All right. I'm going to call it a cop-out. But
what is your favorite sea monster?
Cthulhu.
Which one's that?
The big mythical, you know, tentacle face-looking dude who gets summoned by cultists and was created
like
by
Davy
a racist.
Jones?
Yeah, kind of like Davy Jones.
Gotcha.
But he's Cthulhu.
With a blah, blah, mouth.
Yeah, like but it's Cthulhu, so.
Cthulhu. Can you do your best impression of Zoidberg?
Zoidberg. What is he? I can't remember what Zoidberg does. It's Zoidberg. What's the noise he makes? I forgot.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, like, I can't do it.
Zoidberg.
Okay, audience, you weigh in. Tell us how good that was. Tell us who did the better Zoidberg impression this week on Impressionists is Us.
Wow. Good
real
name
zinger
for
of a name.
Yeah.
Easy to say, just off the tongue.
Off the tongue. That's not the show we're doing. We're doing The Bargain Den. It's your weekly source of financial advice in the form of us watching movies and then telling you whether or not they're frugal or are they just big ol' submarines. My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
This week we did another random die roll and did a little bit of a deep dive into the Amazon Prime free for you movies, and specifically because it's spooky month.
Spooky month.
The spooky month of October.
Ooh.
Ooh, woo.
Ooh, woo.
Ooh, woo.
Halloween. Ooh, woo.
Favorite mythical monster, Cthulhu.
Ooh, woo, Cthulhu.
Thank you. We landed on a movie called The Deep House.
Y'all know The Deep. This is The Deep House. It's a house that's deep.
2021. And this movie has stayed with Donna and I in a very special way in that we have both continually forgotten that we watched it. And it's only been a couple of days.
Yeah.
But we are going to spoil this film, so.
Spoil it!
If you want to watch 2021's The Deep House, dive into it before you get into our episode. But with that out of the way, this will be a very quick description because it's a very straightforward plot.
Will it, though?
Yeah. It's the most straightforward. I could do it in less than five sentences. I could do the whole plot.
Okay,
I won't, but.
We've got Tina and Ben. They're a couple. Ben makes YouTube videos. Tina goes along with it. They do like scary movie kind of shit, basically.
Haunted houses.
Like, whoa, no one's been to this spot and it's going to be creepy. But also, I'm a dickhead, so I'm going to do my best to be a dick to my girlfriend.
Yeah, this should be known about Ben. Ben is the worst motherfucker on the planet. I don't know that I've seen a more unlikable character than Ben in a movie in a long time.
Yeah, and it's not like he like, I don't know. He doesn't have any very obvious transgressions. He doesn't like take ice cream from a baby and then dump it on Tina's head, you know? But he might as well.
He might
like
as
at least
well.
That would be like, okay, everyone knows what Ben's about. But it's like worse than that.
So they get word that there is a haunted house that they have never been to that is at the bottom of a lake in France. And they're trying to rack up those YouTube views. Their last video only got 50,000 views.
Only 50,000?
Wah, wah. So Ben's really
wanting... This one's going to get at least a million.
At least a milli. Ben's really wanting to ratchet up those views. So they almost give up on it because they go to the lake and it turns out that it's just a tourist trap. All these people are already there. It's already been done. Then Ben talks to... an old man who lives out by the lake who looks like Burt Reynolds doing his best French accent. And Burt Reynolds...
Pierre
tells them, Burt Reynolds tells them that it's actually at another spot. They grab their scuba gear and have a bit of a cryptic conversation with Pierre before jumping into the lake, diving down to find this house.
Now, don't worry. The rest of the movie is far from silent because they have the coolest, most high-tech scuba diving equipment you've ever seen in your wildest dreams. And so they can talk to each other and play music and you don't even worry about it. So they do that. They talk to each other and they play music and they find this house and they... do sacrilegious things to tempt the ghosts, you know? Ben does, specifically.
And that's the rest of the flick, gang, is that?
No, because we got... Then there's the end.
Sure, yeah. And so that's the rest of the flick, and then it wraps up by...
Everyone dies.
There we go.
Easy. Easy peasy. Well, we'd be remiss not to point out that it turns out, because they spent 30 seconds to explain all of this to us, yes, right at the end, that it turns out that Pierre is the sole survivor of the family that lived in this house before the town flooded. And his mom, dad, and sister still live there and haunt the place. And just like kill people because that's what they did for fun before the house flooded.
Pierre brings them new victims. Papa. What do you think of this movie, Donna?
Eh.
Yeah.
Eh. Eh. Like, I can't even really trash it too much because, like, it was pretty cool. It was really impressive, all the underwater shit.
Here's my theory. I'm going to hop on this horse. I'm going to give it my theory. Somebody said, I made some equipment to make a movie underwater. And everybody said, I don't want that. And they were like, shit, we spent a lot of money to make a movie underwater. Here's what we'll do. We'll make our own underwater movie and shoot it on our equipment. So they said, I'll give you a lot of money if you write a movie underwater, a scary movie underwater. And the guy said, oh my God, this is my chance, but I don't want to write this script. And he wrote it under pressure, like he was underwater.
Under pressure. Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah.
And, yeah, that's why the whole movie's underwater, is because they said they could do it, and people agreed, and then they made this movie. I am proud of everybody for making it. I don't think anybody actually wanted to make it, but they damn well did it.
But wait, Brandon, there's more. Because remember, at the very end of the film, Tina does escape the house somehow. Remember? At the very end, she escapes the film, the house. And she starts to float back up, but she has to, like, she's out of oxygen. She drops her tank so she can go back up. And she's, like, trying to do the thing where you don't get rickets or... It's not rickets. What the... She's doing the thing where you, like, level up slowly to surface so that you don't die. And then we're like, did she make it? Did she drown? What's happening? And then it's, like, credits. And then you're like, burr, 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 and I went to... a park. You're like, okay, what the fuck was this movie? And then there's a cutscene at the very end, and you're like, oh, are we going to find out whether she made it? And it's just the next two victims. I just wanted to outline that.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that it had this whole setup of like, well, did she make it? I guess she didn't. And then it was like, end credit scene, and you're like, oh, we're going to find out. And then it was like, or not. Like, I mean, I get it. Of course he's bringing more people here. Like, because he said the cryptic thing, like, earlier on in the movie, because she had, like, a peace sign on her tank. And he was like, oh, it's a, you know, like, a cool symbol. Good for you. Like, peace. And she's like, oh, thanks. And then Ben's like, yeah, it's actually from the Crusades and it represents like murder or some bullshit. And they're both like, okay, Ben, Jesus fucking Christ. And he's like, it's a good omen. Like, good for you. And so I thought she was going to make it.
Oh, I mean, yeah. No, this was, it wasn't a very well written.
Like, why would you have that whole stupid conversation? Because we already knew Ben was a dick. That was not the purpose.
It's all over the place. Let's see what some other people have to say.
Box, 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 boxed in.
Gordo Flower gave it 2.5 stars and said, the concept is really, really cool. It's so cool. In fact, that it by itself could almost carry the whole movie.
Almost.
That was the last word.
Amazing. Good review.
Sylvia gave it 3 stars and said, adding never date YouTubers to my reminder list.
Fair assessment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a good kind of like the pacing of the movie is so all over the place with like she'll be mad at Ben and then the next scene, everything's fine. So it's gross, stupid man is mean to his hot, understanding bilingual girlfriend for his failing vanity project. Girlfriend snaps at him and rolls her eyes in irritation. Hard cut. It's 2 minutes later and girlfriend is smiling adoringly at him again. Repeat. That's
yeah.
Carol or Coral. Sorry, either one of those two. Very much the case.
Coral. Coral.
That's the movie. That's the whole ding dang thing. I mean, good on you. You made an underwater movie. It really is underwater. Like that's. I don't know if we're.
It's
stressing
fucking dope. The underwaterness of it. The underwaterness of it was dope.
I mean. Some of the underwaterness of it, they kind of green screen a lot underwater, which is impressive. I didn't think it looked good. Like the eyes in the scuba masks.
I didn't notice too much.
It looks weird, man. It looks very strange.
I thought they were just cutting to like the actors in scuba masks for that.
Yeah, I think that's another thing with it too, is it's all voice acted. So like they have to like... Because it's not them diving. It's just, it's a hoot and a holler that they...
What if it is them diving? What if that's why the acting's kind of hit and miss? Is they've got like real ass scuba divers.
What if it really is them down there, but really it's the actors are actual scuba divers?
What if they don't use doubles for the scuba diving?
I don't think that's the case, but maybe. I think that because there was one scene where she takes off her scuba mask... I feel like that was the one scene that they got her underwater for.
That scene also was super weird. Like, it felt like it was messed with.
It felt like it was the only one where they were like, okay, this is the one we have to show and prove that it's you down here. Well, let's see if we can find some fish tanks to build a tiny little aquarium in the clearance aisle. Bubbles, bubbles, Doyles, and Troubles.
Mm-hmm. Our 4 fish.
Those are our 4 fish. Was it a frugal movie, Donna?
There's like no world where I can picture this being frugal. Like I just have to come out the gate that I feel like I'm a bit biased because I'm going into this with my mind kind of made up. So I just, all the underwater stuff cannot possibly be frugal. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to say because I don't think it could be. But I will say I'm thinking, again, with my assumption that this movie was a, we have the technology, so let's make it. I'm hoping that everybody else went on from this and got a lot of jobs. You know what I mean?
So frugal for like...
being a proof of concept.
A starting project of like, check us all out.
Right.
Yeah, so more like an investment, you're saying.
Yes.
Like if we can do this, we can do anything. Hire me for your shit.
Exactly.
So that would be very frugal. And then it would just depend. So I'm just going to look at Camille Rowe, who played Tina.
There is no alternative.
And she has been in 2 movies since then that's big enough for that person to want to put it on their bio. That's got to be worth something. It seems like, kind of seems like the Deep House was their first feature length, and they've had 2 since then. And one of them's called No Limit, which also looks scuba divey.
Yeah, I think you might have some point there for it. Came out afterwards, however, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but I'm saying that, like, maybe because they did this one, then they went on. And they were like, what if they weren't actually scuba divers? And they're like, I saw you scuba dive. And then she was like, oh, no, I gotta do more scuba stuff because they think I can scuba.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the whole point. It's like, proof of concept. Look at all this shit I can do. Hire me. And they're like, thank fuck, we've needed someone to do a scuba diving movie. And she's like, fuck, okay, yeah. Like, I'm looking for work. Here I am.
B.
So that would be frugal. That's all I'm saying. I'm proving your point.
I think having two directors, one to do the, I'm basing this also on assumption, but I feel like they'd had one director to do the stuff above the water and then one to do stuff under the water. And, you know, not frugal. I feel like I could tell the difference.
Yeah. Which one did you like better? The directing on land or in the lake?
On land, undoubtedly. Like, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of everything before the lake. I don't know. It felt like it was trying, man. You know, like I was with it and I could see maybe it would go somewhere. I really felt like I was in a haunted house ride when they went underwater because it felt like it was on a track. Like it was like go down into the house or like to the gate of the house and then in the house and then go through this room and then something will happen and then into this room and something will happen. Like it was so just like step by step in the house that I was bored.
Boring. So that doesn't seem
frugal.
Frugal. Yeah, the two directors, when one of them was clearly better.
I will say, I don't know that one was better. I just think one probably, maybe it's easier to direct on land than on than in the sea, in the lake.
There are two directors on this, right?
Alexandra Bustillo and Julian Murray.
So I'm looking at,
Yeah, it's a good article.
I'm looking at James Jagger, who played Dickhead Ben, and he does not appear to have been in anything since this movie. So I'm wondering if it got Camille Rowe work and killed his career, because everyone was like, fuck this dude. Like, apparently the only, he plays such a dickhead and he doesn't even do that very well. It's like, ugh. I think this guy just sucks. I'm just shitting on people. That's not nice. I'm wondering now if it really did help people get, you know, jobs.
Well, again, I don't know if like acting was where the focus was for this. You know, I think it was the technology. Right. And that being said, this dude, James Jagger, he was in three films in 2021. So
yeah, but I think the other two came out before.
I mean, sure. I'm not arguing that point. Just that. He had a busy year, you know.
He already had shit going on. He might have taken a year off. He was like,
and
all right.
I wouldn't also be surprised that maybe the Deep House had a long turnaround. Like,
that's also true.
There's just a lot of things that could have gone into whether or not this was profitable for the people on the inside of it. I wonder what the budget / return on it was.
While you do, a point for not frugal. So Ben has clearly invested a stupid amount of money into this YouTube channel that he's only getting 50,000 views per video on. Not frugal. I get that you have to make an investment for your equipment, you know? Artists gotta have the good stuff to get, like, but like maybe if he focused more on improving the quality of, you know, him, people would want to watch his YouTube videos. Like, I don't think it was an equipment problem. Is all I'm saying. He could have fixed his attitude for cheaper than fixing his equipment. Know what I mean?
Right. I'm not seeing anything to tell me about how much money it cost, but it did make $1.9 million.
How?
I feel like it had to have not. I feel like it had to have cost more than that, you know?
With all the underwater shit, yeah.
Yeah. It's also only
they built a
minutes.
Whole ass house for this. They had to have. I mean, sets, stages, right? But like,
well, I can kind of go into that actually with some thrifty trivia.
Thrifty trivia.
Well, so on that note, I'll just read this blurb. The director has explained in Variety that the house was built on large grids and progressively plunged into 9 meter deep water tank that was about 20 meters wide. And we couldn't leave the whole house in the water for days at a time because the decors would have been ruined. So we would immerse only the parts of the house underwater and were shooting scenes floor by floor. And it was a risky shoot. Having the actors and some of the crew go 6 meters deep was very uncommon and difficult to ensure.
Oh, I fucking bet.
Yeah.
So they did have actors go under.
Maybe. But the directors were not allowed to go down there and were following the shoot across 5 and or six monitors and four cameras.
Holy shit.
I feel like if the directors weren't allowed to go down there, the actors were not allowed to go down there.
Well, but it says the actors.
Right, but I mean, I think...
Scuba diving actors.
Yeah, that's what I'm that's what I'm thinking. The other bit of thrifty trivia is that were this real life, that dive would have absolutely killed both divers. Here the divers...
Like even without the spooky ghosts?
Well, the dive, the dive was 100 feet for approximately 60 minutes, according to the... Haldane's decompression model, breathing atmospheric air at this depth for that amount of time would require 97 minutes of decompression in the water, assuming the divers did not bring a portable hyperbaric chamber and oxygen. Ascending from 100 feet to the surface after 60 minutes without stopping to decompress in the water column would result in a catastrophic decompression injuries. The bends, that's what
the
you're...
The bends...
Furthermore, you. Holding your breath Rickets. Upon ascent would result in additional and devastating diving injuries.
Maybe that's what did her in. It wasn't running out of air and drowning. It was the very, very bad ascent.
Rickets is a disease of children caused by vitamin D deficiency, characterized by imperfect calcification, softening, and distortion of the bones, typically resulting in bow legs.
Yeah, rickets...
Bends. Hey, the knees bends. I get it. Sorry for any bow-legged listeners out there.
So that seems like not frugal, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is not a frugal film.
Like, it's not remotely accurate. I love how it's like, I have 14 minutes of oxygen left or whatever. And he's like, well, breathe slowly because you're going to need some time for the ascent. And then... this trivia dropping facts on us. Like there was never in a million years that that would have ever worked ever.
Also, it had a percentage as to how much oxygen they had left, right?
Yeah, it was technically a percent.
Well, that was a thing I saw somewhere else too, that that's not how it ever is. It's by pressure. Like you would never be like, oh, I'm at 60%. That you would say,
well, that was part of his cool high-tech scuba equipment.
Oh, and
with its fucking jams, you know?
I feel like that somebody deleted some of this trivia because I feel like there was more. Because there was one that talked about how, like, that would never happen. Like, you would never have sound equipment underwater. That would be so dangerous.
Well, yeah, because you, like, I imagine regardless of any of the technical considerations that go along with that, it's just the idea that, like, your senses are already so dulled underwater. Like, you really need what you can get. Don't drown out your hearing too, you know, like it's all quiet and dark. And if there is danger, you need to be able to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus that would like scare and or attract things you probably don't want.
Mm-hmm. Like Cthulhu.
Not frugal, right? Stay on land. That's the lesson.
Unless you're Camille Rowe, in which case, fucking get it, girl.
Get it. Sorry you were in this film. You really did do a pretty good job. Sorry.
I'm not sorry. She saved it.
Hell yeah. You want to thank some people?
Sure. First off, thank you so much for listening. If you like this episode, share it with your friends. And second off, I want to thank Brandon for hosting the podcast with me. Thank you, Brandon. And then third off, I want to thank Anchor.fm for hosting our podcast. And then fourth off, I want to thank the Lounge Kittens for the use of their cover of Dirty Deeds. And then fifth off, I want to thank Sarah Anastasia for her beautiful artwork. And then lastly off, I want to thank our bargainer. Who the fuck is our bargainer this week, Brandon?
Well, I'll tell you, country girl Harley Quinn. hi, howdy. I'm Cowboy Joker, and I'm here to tell you that you want to know how I got these scraps? it's Jack 3245.
Thank you, Jack.
There it is. You can become a bargainer too if you leave us a review on iTunes Podcast. We'd greatly appreciate it. If you go on there, leave us a review. We'll be the last one to leave us a review, and we'll read your name each and every week, as well as tell you whether or not we think that you're a frugal movie. No, that's not what we do. We just thank you. Or if you send us a review from another platform on our email, that's thebargaindincast@gmail.com.
Thebargaindincast@gmail.com.
You can send us stuff there if you'd like. But until next week, you got one more week of scary, is that right?
Spooky, ooh woo.
Spooky. My name's Brandon.
My name is Donna.
Pinch those pennies.
And stay frugal.
All right, I got Med Pride Nitrate Exam Gloves.
The
powder
fuck?
Free for $11.99.
How many? What's the count on them bad boys?
Two.
No. No way. No way they're charging $12.
A hundred. Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry, I forgot to turn it off. You know what would be crazy? What if there was 100 rubber gloves in this box?
Brandon, that's too many rubber gloves.
I forgot how long this laugh goes on.
No. Fucking frugal.
If you got a lady and you want her gone, but you ain't got the guts, she keeps nagging at you night after night.